On Jordan's stormy banks I stand. Stand and sing.
So all stand, please. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for that promised land, bound for that promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land. All over those white extended plains shine one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters light away. I am bound for that promised land. I am bound for that promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land. No chilling winds or drowsiest breath can reach that faithful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death never felt and feared no more. I am bound for that promised land. I am bound for that promised land. Will come and go with me. I am bound for that promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for that promised land. I am bound for that promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for that promised land.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer today and pray for the different needs that have been lifted up. We've been praying for Pastor Ronnie Andrews' wife. She came home from the hospital, I understand, and is doing very well, and the pregnancy and all is looking fine, so that's a praise report, so keep praying for them, and pray the Lord will help them to have a successful and blessed birth of this baby. So let's remember those things in prayer. We ask prayer today also, those of you that may know the late evangelist Ed Ballou. He was the founder of the Rock of Ages prison ministry, and he passed away. I'm not sure how old Brother Ed was. He knows at least in his 80s, if not his 90s. And so let's pray for that family as well. I understand we ask prayer for the family of evangelist Roger Williams. I was talking to some folks the other day and said that just what we was pretty much expected, that funeral was packed, but they said the Lord received the glory and the praise in that funeral. So let's pray that God will work in people's hearts even through that experience. All right, let's just remember all these things. If you have unspoken requests, let it be known by a raised hand, and the Lord knows all about these things. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your goodness to us. We thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. We pray that you'll take care of all these requests, Lord, these who have lost loved ones. We pray that you'll give grace and strength. We pray, Father, today that you'll be with all these prayer requests that have been lifted up by a raised hand, and you know about those. And we pray that the will of the Lord be done. We pray that you'll bless our time together today and help us as we look into your word, and pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us and encourage us. And we'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Pray for the choir as they sing at this time.
Number 153, choir, and your great hymns of faith. Number 153.
Number 153.
Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Nothing in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over the soul and soul and wide. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy heavens to my Lord to bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Jesus will come someday. Satan and the world will be old. Oh, if it were today, sorrows and sighting shall no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead of the Christ arise, gone up to meet him in the skies. Then shall these glories meet our eyes. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Faithful and true. If he should come today, watching in gladness and not in fear, if you should come today, signs of his coming multiply. Morning light breaks the eastern sky.
What a gathering. Born and bright in darkness, morning with the Son of Man shall sun, and the stars and his glory we shall see. Well, from every tribe and nation we shall call as this will come. What a gathering of the ransom that will be. What a gathering, what a gathering, what a gathering of the ransom in the summer land of love. What a gathering, what a gathering of the ransom.
live in the happy home above. When the blessed sleep in Jesus and his many shall open from the silence of the grave and from the sea. And with bodies of celestial there shall meet him in the sky. What a gathering of rejoicing that will be. What a gathering, what a gathering.
What a gathering of the ransoms in the summer land above.
What a gathering, what a gathering.
Of the ransom in that happy home above.
I behold the city with the many mansions by this river come the dawn of glory for me.
When the thoughts of death and body shall in bliss again unite,
what a gathering of the friends that will be. What a gathering, what a gathering.
Of the sounds of our sights and through the summer land above.
What a gathering. What a gathering of the ransomed in the happy home above.
Oh, the King is surely coming and the time is drawing near when the blessed day of promise I shall see.
In the changing in the moment of a twinkling of an eye and forever in his presence we shall be.
What a gathering.
What a gathering
of the ransomed of the southern land and summer land of love.
What a gathering, what a gathering
of the ransomed in that happy home above.
All right, thank you, choir, for that good singing. Let's turn for our fellowship song this morning to hymn number 483, Oh, How I Love Jesus. It's a great old song. I hope that's our desire, that we are exclaiming our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. We'll sing the first and the second fellowship and come back on the last.
Oh, bless I take my love to hear, my love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. He tells me of a Savior's love to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Thank you. How you doing, buddy?
Somebody got a haircut.
Yeah, I needed it.
I needed it bad.
Seats, and we'll sing that last verse. Ready?
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel each grievous woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can below. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Thank you. May be seated.
All right. Thank you for that good singing today. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord on this beautiful, beautiful fall day. It's supposed to be cooler than it is, but I'm glad it's not. Feels nice, and I hope you'll enjoy. The weather's going to be changing, I guess, pretty soon, so let's keep praying for that. And it's good to see you today in the house of the Lord. Good to have Mr. Wilson. And your first name is, tell me again, because I'm terrible with names.
Johnny.
You're Johnny too, huh? Two Johnny Wilsons in this world. Wow. We're getting used to one of them. Yeah, I guess there is, isn't it? Yeah, we got three of them in a row. All right, and you're from where in North Carolina? I'm sorry, you told me over here. Okay, it's good to have you today in the service. God bless you. All right, well, you pray for Miss Teresa as she sings for us today.
When He moves among us, all that He does, all of His mercy and all of His love, and the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter in summer, and the changing of leaves, the food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed, I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. Way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, ears that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sister, memories made. Our pastor to lead us, the altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. With flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. We stand in the harbor, this liberty calls. All gave some, but some have gave all for me to be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down. He's a rock that I run to when I'm overwhelmed. The place where He hides me is under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I can count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
All right, thank you, sister. That's true. We have been blessed. We just don't even know how blessed we are. All right, if you'll look in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And look, good Lord be willing, I want to preach tonight, this morning and tonight, on the subject of our example of thanksgiving. Our example of thanksgiving. Is that on? Can you hear that okay? Move it up. All right. Luke chapter 17, familiar passage. A good passage to deal with this time of year, Thanksgiving. And that's going to be found in chapter 17. We're going to begin reading with verse 11. While you're turning there, it's good to see Holly. Holly's in for a little Thanksgiving break. And I know she's glad to be home, get a little break from the rat race, hustle and bustle of college. And she probably doesn't know what to do. It's probably she's used to just kind of going 100 miles an hour in college, and that's part of college. So she's probably like, what do I do? So I hope she does get a little time of rest and relaxation this week. All right, Luke chapter 17, let's look at verse 11. It came to pass as He went to Jerusalem, that's talking about the Lord Jesus, that it passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, speak to our hearts and touch us and speak to us through your word as we look into the example of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you ever wondered sometimes why the very people who seem to have the most to be thankful for are oftentimes the least? I was talking to someone this week. I will not say who it was. You would not know them anyway. But we had sent their grandson a check for their birthday. Their grandson lived in Florida. He had just turned 11 years old, so we sent him a check for $11. And never heard a word. Never heard a word. And so I talked to this was the grandma, and I talked to her yesterday. I said, "Oh, by the way, did you hear from so-and-so?" I said, "I'd like to know if they got the card and got the check, because," I said, "if it's lost in the mail," I said, "I'd like to be able to, you know, make that right." And she said, "Well, I don't know." I have no idea, but she says, "I'll check into it." But you know what I thought? Isn't that the height of ingratitude? Because there are people that see, in this particular family, they got about anything they want. And I've just found it interesting through the years that the people who seem to have the most are the least grateful. And all it would have been would nice to do is pick up the telephone and call and say, "You know, my 11-year-old son got your check, and we appreciate it, but, you know, never heard a word. And don't know that we will." And so it's like, you know, that's ingratitude. That's ingratitude. We have many things. We have much to be thankful for. And the song that Miss Teresa sang this morning well illustrates the fact that we have a great amount of things to be thankful for. When people get depressed and discouraged, good thing to do, if you get to the place sometimes where you just feel like everything's about to close in on you, sit down someplace if you got time and get a piece of paper and a pencil and start just writing things down that you are thankful for. Start off with 10. Start off with 10 things that you're thankful for. And then, once you get done with that 10 things, put it aside and then come back in a little while and write about 10 more things. And then after that, write 10 more things. And see if you can come up with at least 100 things, and you'll be surprised what you are thankful for. But we have become a spoiled generation, a spoiled nation, and so we're not thankful like we ought to be. But we've got so many things to be thankful for. How many times have we heard people tell the story about when they were, how they went to school and the snow was like, 6 feet, and they were barefoot and they walked, 5 miles to school. And, you know, you've heard all the stories. And if you base our society on that, then we have a lot to be thankful for. We got transportation. Brother Bill says amen right there. And those deer, I tell you now, I'm telling you, you pray over them things. You do. And they're more like demons than deer, I'll tell you that right now. And we've had fellowship with those dudes, but I just as soon excommunicate my fellowship with those fellows, because they just don't know. They wear out their welcome fast. But thank God for an automobile. Thank God for a house to live in. I got one. I hope you don't think I'm too graphic when I say this. Thank God for indoor plumbing. Praise God. And just so many wonderful things for which we should be thankful. We complain, we say, "Well, I don't have, I'm not like so-and-so. They go buy a new car every year and blah, 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 and I'm still before, because our van is like it's either a 98 or a 99, but you know what? It gets me where I need to go, and I'm thanking God for it. And we need to just praise the Lord, because we may not have our exact desires, the absolute things we specifically want, but you know what? Thank the Lord, we got something, and the Lord is good. And so we need to realize that. Well, I say that that's part of our day and time, because economists have actually said this. Economists have said, for some reason, whatever reason they say, some economists say that America is the poorest fed, poorest clothed nation that there is. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. We throw away more food than some people in other countries have to eat. I marvel when you go, there are people that go to restaurants like Applebee's and Texas Steakhouse and all of these, and they go every week. And they'll go in, spend $10, $15, $20 on a plate of food and then leave half of it. Thank God for doggy bags. But I know people would never do that. I know people that will not eat leftovers. They'll throw the leftovers out. See, things I don't understand. I mean, you know, people, isn't the fact we don't appreciate what we have? Is that what's wrong? Is that our difficulty? Is that our problem? We just don't appreciate the things that the Lord has given us. You know, I'm amazed at that. I think there's got to be a better way to do this. But I think of people, had a friend who used to be a manager at Hardee's. And this was back when Hardee's was selling the Roy Rogers fried chicken and that kind of thing. And after a certain period of time, that chicken had to be thrown out if it wasn't bought. And, you know, I mean, taken and destroyed. It could not be put in the dumpster. It had to be destroyed. And I'm thinking there's got to be a better way to do that. Because if you think about the fact that hundreds and hundreds of pounds of food are destroyed and that's a waste. I know why they don't do. I know why they don't put them out in dumpsters, because people would come and scrounge in those dumpsters, take the food, then fake sickness and fake botulism, and then sue the restaurant. I can see that, and that's wrong for people that need food and would stoop that low. That's wrong also. There are problems on all kinds of levels. But the truth of the matter is, whatever the situation is, we should be careful in our griping and our complaining, because we do have so much for which to be thankful. No doubt about it. There are some areas of life in which we ought always to be thankful. And I'm going to share with you this morning and tonight some areas in which we should always be thankful. First of all, in the story that I've read to you here, in this wonderful story of Jesus and the 10 lepers, we need to be thankful for the salvation which Jesus Christ has purchased for us. You say, how do you get salvation out of it? I'm going to show you in just a few minutes if I can. But I want you to see something. I want you to see, first of all, in verses 11 and 12, I want you to see what I call the plight of the sinners. Now, leprosy, you'll notice that these are 10 lepers. You say, what does that have to do with salvation? Leprosy in the Bible, if you did not know it, is a type or symbol of sin. Please understand that leprosy is not a sin. It is a disease. But in the Bible, it symbolizes that. You've got to keep that in mind, okay? So leprosy is a picture or symbol or type of sin. And you'll notice in verse 11, it says, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now, as you study the Bible, as you study the Gospels, you know what I'm appreciative of? I appreciate the fact that Jesus centers on certain people in certain places. If you'll go sometime, if you wanted to, for instance, just get a Strong's Concordance or Young's Concordance or Cruden's Concordance and look up the word certain, you'd probably be shocked how many times you'd find that word certain used in the Bible. Because certain means that they're specifying something or somebody individually. Because here we are given certain places and certain people. It just doesn't say, oh, he's just traveling around one day and saw a bunch of folks. It didn't say that. It says that he is traveling. It says as he's on his way to Jerusalem, he passes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The Lord Jesus was always contacting people, always meeting with people. Aren't you glad that he met you one day? Aren't you glad that one day he came by your road and he visited with you? And you were the certain person. I'm reminded about Bartimaeus. The Bible says Bartimaeus was a certain blind man. See, that word certain. And so God is in the individual. Yes, God created the masses of people. We have I don't know what the number would be on the planet Earth. It changes all the time. How many trillions or whatever we have on this planet. But I'm going to tell you something. God made every single solitary person. There's nobody on this earth that's got breath breathing into their body that God Almighty didn't put it there. Even mean people, even wicked people, even criminals, even serial killers. As much as I don't understand all that stuff, God has given every single person that has breath on this earth, God's the one that gave them that life. And isn't it amazing how people don't seem to understand that nor pay attention to it? So God is in the business of certain people. And so in this particular story, there are 10 certain people. Okay? 10 people. Not 12, not 11, not 50, but 10 people that have leprosy. Now in verse number 13 says, and they lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now why would they even request that? Now, this is the way it was in those days. There was no cure for leprosy. Okay? And what would happen is they'd have leper colonies. And in those leper colonies, they would have to take the people. Leprosy was a very dangerous disease, as you probably know, because leprosy would cause parts of the body to literally be eaten away. That means that you might see someone who is a leper who literally has no nose. Or they have no ears. Their ears have been eaten away. Or you would see them with nubs, and they would just have little stubs there for hands and fingers. Wouldn't be much left, okay, because of that. And so they would have leper colonies, and they would have places that the lepers would have to go, and they would have to live there because of the contamination, because it was a contagious disease. If a leper went out into public, what the leper would have to do is he would have to wrap up in a cloak, and then he would have to go up and down the road, and he would have to say, unclean, unclean. And if somebody were meeting a leper, then they would need to go either on the other side of the road, or they would even walk a distance from them and then take their coat and pull it away from them so that they would not be contaminated with the contagious disease of leprosy. Now, leprosy is much become improved as far as control. You don't even find leprosy much anymore in the world. You do find some areas in Africa and places like that there where there are still leper colonies, but nothing like they used to be. In these days, leprosy was dangerous. It was sure and certain death. Now, if leprosy is a type of sin, and it is, then what does the Bible say about sin? The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Here are 10 people, 10 men who have come and they have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to get as close as they possibly can to Him. But it says in verse 12, they stood afar off because they were not permitted. They could only stay in a certain place at a certain distance away from all the people so there would not be any contamination that would take place. But while they could not get close to Him physically, they could get close to Him as far as their voices were concerned. So their voices would go forth, and they cried with a loud voice, the Bible says, lifted up their voice in verse 13, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now that's all you have to say to Jesus. Did you know that? All you have to say is, Jesus, Master. See, here's the difference. When they said Master, they were talking about the fact that they recognized that Jesus was just not a miracle worker. They realized that He just wasn't a good man. They realized that He was just not some person that could help you in the midst of your distresses. According to the Word of God, He was the Master, and they realized that He was the Master. And that was part of the significance of why the Lord Jesus paid attention to these 10 men. Because they lift up their voice and they cried, Jesus, Master, Lord, Teacher. And they cried out and they said, have mercy on us. Now there are a lot of people, I'm afraid, that have the attitude that Jesus owes them something. Do you not see that in America as far as the government's concerned? Do people not actually believe that the federal government owes them a living? They absolutely do. I remember when our president was voted into office, I remember hearing a woman on the radio, I guess, being interviewed, and she says, this is a great day. She said, the reason it's a great day is because, she says, I'll never have another car payment. And I won't have to pay for gas anymore. I heard this with my own ears. And I'm thinking, what world are you in, my dear? Just because a certain person is voted into office doesn't mean that all of these freebies, if you will, are going to come into pass. And I still haven't seen anybody getting free gas. And I still haven't seen anybody getting a free automobile. And if they did, it's probably not worth having anyway. So I don't understand a lot of these things, where people get this idea that somebody owes them something. You know, nobody owes me a thing. Anything I've got, it's because God has had mercy on me. And God has been good to me. And God has blessed me. And if anybody does any owing, I'm the one does the owing. What did Paul say? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he talks about how that his message is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you remember how Paul would pray in the 10th chapter in the first verse of the book of Romans, and he would say that my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Of course, those of you know Brother Charles Taylor that's preached for me here, he always sends his prayer and says, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we need to do that. We're commanded to do that. Why? Because God, if anybody's indebted to anybody, we're indebted to the Lord. And we need to be about the Father's business. And we need to win people to Jesus Christ, to witness and do what we can. That's the only debt I know of. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And so we need that desperately. And so there's but these men came, and there are all sorts of people, and it's interesting because as you see the Lord Jesus and you see vast throngs of people that came into his presence and came and thronged him and surrounded him, there were certain ones that caught the attention of Jesus. And this group of 10 men took the attention of Jesus because of their prayer of sincerity. And they said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Maybe everybody else has come by and said, oh, give me wealth. I'm sure there were people that came to Jesus and said, give me wealth. Give me riches. Give me popularity. Give me beauty. I saw an old movie years ago called The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And in that movie, it showed a very historical and accurate picture of Roman Catholicism in that day, just to touch on how people were led in certain religious beliefs. People would go to the cathedrals in Notre Dame. And for instance, if you've ever noticed the architecture on those old buildings, they're still there today, beautiful structures. But they had gargoyles. And people love to think of the gargoyles as being some kind of horror character. The gargoyles were protection. They were protection against evil spirits. Evil spirits could not enter into the cathedral, it was believed, because the gargoyles protected the cathedral against evil spirits that took place. But back in those days, people did not read. They did not have the ability nor the education to read the Bible. And what they would do is they would go to Mass and they would pray. And they would pray to Mary, and they would pray for, now this is all ignorance on their part, they've never been taught any different, but they prayed, give me wealth, give me good looks, give me children. And it was all, even back then in those days, centuries and centuries ago, people's human nature had not changed because they were always wanting something, okay? Back in those days, maybe they were more rightful to pray that way because they were so poor, extremely poor people in that day. There you had two groups of people. You had the poor people and you had the rich people. There was no in-between ground. All right? There was no such creature at that time as the middle class. And so you had people in poverty. But that's all they prayed for. Give me this and give me that and give me this and give me that. You didn't see, I'm sure you saw many people like that that surrounded the Lord Jesus, but who was it, whenever you read in the Bible, whenever the Lord Jesus, when he was surrounded by the throngs of people, who did he help? People who had needs of sincerity. Here you have 10 men who are not praying and crying out for any type of any kind of, you know, wealth and riches. They're saying, we have a need. We just need you, Lord, because we know you're the only one who can help us. And so there was a prayer of sincerity in verse 13. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, and when he saw them, He turned around and he looked in their direction again. That had to be awesome because we don't know how many people have surrounded him. It could have been 50 people. It could have been 500 people. We don't know because on many one occasion 5,000 people surrounded him and he taught them. Another one, there were 6,000. So there were times in which vast throngs. So we don't know how many people are surrounding him at this particular time. But it says when he heard the voice of those 10 lepers as they were over yonder, because they had to be there because of the law, because of everything as far as them being a leper, and they looked and they said, oh my. And the Lord turned and looked in their direction. And he said in verse 14, he said, and he saw them, and he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now show me any place in that passage where they ever told Jesus what they needed. Doesn't say it. They just said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If Jesus were a regular human being, he would have had to go and ask them more details. It never got that far. They just said, Lord, have mercy on us. This brings about what I call the plan of salvation. We talked about the plight of the sinners, the prayer of sincerity, but now we have the plan of salvation. What do I mean by that? He told them exactly what to do. He saw them. He saw them in their condition. He saw them as lepers that were suffering. I would think that probably they did have cloaks covering their heads so that they did not, their physical appearance, which I'm sure was very hideous. They kept that hidden from the crowd. The Lord Jesus physically probably could not tell exactly what the full needs of those people were. But because he was Jesus Christ, God in flesh, he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He knows everything. He is everywhere. And he is all powerful. And so we look and he looked at them without them saying anything else. He said to them, he said there in verse number 14, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, what was the answer to these fellows? Okay. First of all, we see that Christ is alone is the one who gives us salvation. And the Lord gave them a plan. And through obedience, those men would receive the healing that they stood in need of. And all he said was, go show yourselves unto the priest. I see no place in the scriptures where the men argued with him, which is a wonderful thing. I don't see where they start arguing with themselves and they start saying, you know, what did he mean by that? Now, they had known enough about Jesus by the fact that they called him Master, that they realized this is what we've got to do because he told us to do it. We're going to do exactly what he wants us to do. You know, if a person gets saved, they got to go through the way Jesus said go for salvation. You can't go by works of righteousness. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says that. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Bible tells us it must be the way of Christ. He said in chapter 14 of John in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that must mean that Jesus is very narrow-minded. And may I say to you that he is. Because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the book of Proverbs says. But there is one way, and the Bible even calls it a narrow way. You say, why is that? Because nobody, Bible says that people will try to go in over the wall or under the wall or whatever, but Jesus says you go by the door. There is no back door. There is no exit signs. There's no escape hatch. There's no ladder where you can climb and ascend the wall and go over, because the Bible says that anybody that goes that way, they have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You've got to go the way of Jesus Christ and follow his instructions. And people look at that and they attack that and they say, well, we don't want any part of that because I'm doing my thing and I'm living my life and I'm doing good and everything's all right. But you know, that's wonderful. I'm glad people can do great. I admire people that stand on their own two feet and work their jobs and live their lives. I appreciate that, and God bless them, but that's not getting them into heaven. People have trouble with that. They have a great amount of problem with that because they think they've got to do something to get to heaven. But they don't understand Jesus did everything. He did it all at Calvary for us. And so all we have to do is what Jesus said. And all Jesus said to them was, go and show yourselves to the priest. Well, you know what they did? They obeyed. Now, let's look at verses. Verse 14 again says, and it came to pass that as they went. And that's just the way the Lord works. They're heading back and they're saying, well, we just, you know, we're going to do what the Lord said. And wonder what's going to happen when we get there. Wonder what's going to happen when we see the priest. Wonder if the priest has got instructions from Jesus to do something. And the whole time maybe they're walking down the road and heading toward the priests, they don't even realize that they are in the process of being healed at that very moment. It's amazing. And then it says that they were cleansed. And verse 15, one of them paid attention. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, glorified God. Maybe they felt something. I don't know. I know we're not saved by feelings, but I know this, that when you realize the goodness of God, you feel good. When you realize that you've been saved by grace through faith, you're just going to feel better. Sometimes I made mention of the fact that we complain a lot and gripe a lot and complain a lot, and that's all true. But can I say this? You know, if we would reflect upon what the Lord has brought us from, we wouldn't gripe and complain so much. Have you ever thought about what might have happened to you if you had not become a Christian? Have you ever thought about what happened to you, what you'd be doing right now if you were not a believer? What do you think your lifestyle would be like? Who would you be hanging out with? What would be your pastime? See? I mean, think about that. What do you think would have happened to your life? And the whole truth of the matter is, the sky's the limit. Anything is possible. But I'm glad that because of the good saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to go and figure that out. We have been redeemed. And so this young man stops and realizes, hey, now, question is interesting. He realized it. You know he had to say something about it, but the other nine keep going. Strange. A few minutes ago, they're all crying, Master, help me. And the Lord did. And they're all walking, but one realizes what's happened, and he turns around. He decides to go and to leave. And return back to the Lord. And it said in verse number 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, and he gave him thanks. And then the Lord asked an interesting question. He said, where are the nine? Where are the nine? I'm glad that you came. And I'm glad that you thanked me for what I did for you. But what happened to the other nine? Where are the nine that came and stood right over there and said, Master, have mercy, and I did have mercy? Where are they? Where are they? And this Thursday is Thanksgiving. You know what the most important thing about Thanksgiving is, as far as I'm concerned? It's not the elaborate amount of food that's spread on the table. It's not the importance of having family and relatives in. It's not that you can, you know, have a day off of work or school. Those are great things. That's not the most important thing about Thanksgiving. The most important thing about Thanksgiving is when you get ready before you put that first piece of turkey on your plate. The most important thing about Thanksgiving
It's when you bow your head and give thanks to God for all His bountiful blessings. And I believe with all my heart, and I know that there are unbelievers who there's not a single believer in their home, and therefore they don't really even have anybody to offer thanksgiving. I understand that now a lot of people like that are doing toasts. And they'll open a bottle of wine or something and they'll have a toast. And that's their substitute for giving thanks to God. But I just consider that to be a heinous sin to not give thanks to the God who provided everything. And the perception of the Savior in verses 17 through 19, where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And He said unto him, Arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I'm very interested, I wonder, did the healing really finish up with all those others? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if it's just God healed them all and just one of them gave thanks. I don't know. But I know that the Lord Himself is, can I say it, concerned, brokenhearted, that nine of them didn't come back. We got a lot to be thankful for. God help us to be thankful. To be thankful. God help us to not complain so much. God help us not to gripe. It's human nature, it really is. But can I ask you this? Does it make it right? Does it make it right? Sometimes we just have our pity parties and we feel sorry for ourselves and but is it right? Is it right? Because reflect, if you will, as I close on the thought this morning, reflect about what it could be like if you say, I don't want to be thankful. My life is this way, my life is that way, and I wish it was, but what could it have been? What kind of horror could you have experienced had it not been for the good grace and mercy of God? We have to keep that in perspective. We have to. We have to. Yes, things can always be better, but things can also always be worse. I can guarantee you, Brother Bill's not a happy camper over hitting that deer the other day. But it's like I asked him, I said, is it drivable? Yes. He said he was afraid that, you know, when that deer hit him, because you notice I said the deer hit him. I never believe we hit deer. I think deer hit us. I think they come looking for us. And he said he was afraid that there was damage to the motor and he would be stranded. He's able to drive it. Well, you know, that is not a great thing to have an accident with the deer, but it is wonderful to be able to drive your car away from it. I had a couple of dear friends up in Martinsville years ago up on what you call the Fixburg Road, and they were driving in a big old deer, and they were driving a car about the size of Brother Bill's. And he came right out in front of them, and they hit him, and that dude, he was big. He rolled over and smashed his body into that windshield. He was stuck. And naturally, they pulled off to the side of the road, and I really can't remember now. I think he wedged himself out and got out and took off. But I mean, the car was naturally totaled. But I mean, you know, they got out of the car and walked away. See what I'm saying? All depending on how you look at it. Is that glass full? Is that glass empty? Half full, half empty. See? And if you look at things from the perspective of the blessings and goodness of God, it'll always be half full. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Let's be thankful. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Tonight I'm going to give two more examples in the Bible from concerning thankfulness. Examples of thankfulness. May the Lord help us to be thankful. Now, my Father, I pray you bless us and speak to our hearts. And I do pray that you'll take this simple message. And Lord, we pray concerning salvation. I pray that we'll all look into our hearts and make sure that we know that we know that we know we're saved and that we're going to heaven. Help us to prepare. And this message, while it is dealing with the basic principle of 10 men who had leprosy, there is a lesson to be learned about salvation. And I pray, God, that we will take the Lord Jesus Christ at His word, and that those that have never trusted Christ may do so. So I pray you'll speak to us in this hour. And I pray for somebody lost, they'll come to know Christ and be saved. And help us, Lord, to be very mindful of the goodness of God in the land of the living, and to thank you. No matter how tough things may be, they can always be worse. And you've been good to us, better to us than we deserve. And so I pray that you'll show us that great principle in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number?
Number 253. Lord, I'm coming home. 253, as we all stand. I wonder far away from God. Now I'm coming home. I know I've seen the Globetrotter. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming.
Thank you.
bless you today. And we will, this time, get ready to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings and missions giving. While you're getting ready to give, we have a flyer inviting those that are able to go to Victory up here to their revival meeting Monday and Tuesday night, 7:30. Dr. Bobby Robertson from Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown will be in the service. So if you're able to go, I know they'd love to see you. And Dr. Robertson has been faithful to the Lord so many years. God's used him greatly. So keep that in mind, if you will, please. Okay? All right. Our revival meeting, talk some more about it tonight, starting on the 12th of December with Pastor James Mays, so keep that in mind. All right, Brother Julius, you lead us in prayer, please.
Gracious Father, thank you for this
day, and the Lord bless you.